Welcome to the Devotional Toddcast, hosted by Pastor Todd Walker and Crossroads Church in Littleton, New Hampshire.
So, for the Toddcast tonight, I'll ask you a question. Did you ever get a forgery? You know what a forgery is? It's a fake. It's something that appears to be valuable, but actually has no value at all. Did you ever get a forgery of anything? Yeah? Couple? Well, tonight, you're going to get one. I'm going to hand out some forgeries. Pass them around. You don't have to take a forgery if you don't want a forgery, but I'm going to pass these forgeries around. You can take any of them you want. I think there's two or three options. Enjoy your forgery. There's no value with these at all. So that's how much your pastor loves you.
What if I give it to someone else and make them think that it has value?
Well, that's up to you. I doubt they'll believe you, though, because it's very cheap. These are not very good forgeries. I got these at the dollar store. But they are made to look like coins, medals, and I think there's some trophies in there even. And because that's kind of where we're going in our Toddcast tonight. I'm going to call our Toddcast tonight All In for the Authentic. Yes, pass the forgeries around. Let the kids pick out some forgeries. And I need you to hang on to the forgery because at the end I'm going to challenge you with that forgery to go along with our lesson tonight. But is there anything worse than getting a forgery? I don't know if there is. I've been frustrated every time I've gotten a forgery. Something that I thought was going to be valuable that turned out to be the opposite and having no value at all. In fact, for tonight's Toddcast, I'm going to do something I typically don't do. I'm just going to tell you a story tonight, if that's okay. Is that all right? It's going to be story time for Toddcast tonight. This is a true story, by the way. I own the rights to it. If it ever goes to Hollywood, okay, I get all the money. It's going to go viral.
Is this about a watch?
It's not about a watch. I know you've heard that story already, Ken. I know. I've done reruns, but I don't typically do three or four reruns. So this is a brand new story, okay? But it is a true story. It actually did happen. Yeah, make sure the kids get some forgeries. Enjoy those forgeries, kids. When I was in middle school, I rode the bus to school. Who rode the bus to school growing up? There, we got a few. And in middle school, we rode the bus to school and from school. And I rode the bus with this kid named Mike Cherry. And the reason I remember this kid named Mike Cherry is because of what transpired between us. See, like a lot of kids in the 90s, dating myself, before cell phones, before iPads, before YouTube, kids back in the 90s said, at least boys did, they did something called collecting baseball cards. Who did it? Collecting baseball cards? We got a couple. And my brother and I did this for years. I had a pretty big collection of baseball cards. I've honestly probably over 10,000 cards. I know. I was an addict. I had a lot of baseball cards, and because that's really all you could do as a kid. You either played baseball or collected baseball cards, and that was it. There was nothing else to do. And we lived in Iowa, Tracy. That's literally all you could do in Iowa. Play baseball or collect baseball cards. And because I collected so many cards for so many years, I had some pretty valuable cards. And like most kids, one of our favorite pastimes with baseball cards is when we traded those cards with other kids. So I rode the bus to and from school, and one of the kids on my bus route was this kid named Mike Cherry. And on several occasions, I would sit near Mike Cherry. He was a nice enough kid. And I would notice him on the bus on occasion would be flipping through his trading cards while on the bus, riding the bus home from school. And so one day I asked if I could see some of Mike's cards and just look through some of his cards. And he let me look through them the one day. And as I was shuffling through the cards, I noticed that Mike had several autographed cards. You ever seen one of these? A card that is autographed by the player, has his signature on the card. And these were the most exciting version of trading cards. It was very difficult to get autographs, especially of great players, because you either had to like meet them, or you had to like, back in the day before the internet, you had to write them in the mail. No lie, get their address, write them in the mail. They'd get all this fan mail, and the really popular guys get thousands and thousands of letters. They never read your letters. You don't get their autograph. So Mike had a lot of autographed cards, and I was in awe of his collection as a collector. Because his collection put mine to shame. I mean, it was just so much better than mine. And as I'm shuffling through his cards, now he had all the sports. He had baseball, basketball, football, hockey. I came across the crown jewel of all trading cards. Does anyone want to guess what it was?
Mickey Mantle?
Not Mickey Mantle. Actually, better than Mickey Mantle. Not as old, though.
Favorite?
It's not baseball either, so that's a little tip for you.
Oh.
Not baseball. Anyone want to guess?
Wayne Gretzky.
Not Wayne Gretzky, Bobby, but you're on the... Keep going. Different sport. What was it?
Bobby
Orr? No, not Bobby Orr.
Was it hockey?
Come on, guys.
Sounds like hockey.
Basketball.
A basketball? Bill Russell?
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan, yeah.
I was hoping someone would come up with that, but...
We didn't realize you were so young.
I am young. Well, this is the 90s. You have to remember, this is the 90s. We're not dealing with Mickey Mantle. We're dealing with Michael Jordan. Mike Cherry had an autographed Michael Jordan basketball card. And I just came across this card, shuffling through his cards, and I stopped shuffling and just stared at this card with my jaw hanging open because I was shocked. And I said to Mike, I said, Mike, you have Michael Jordan's autograph? And Mike Cherry replied, and he said, actually, I have a couple of them. And I was in shock. I didn't even know this was possible. Because how do you get Michael Jordan's autograph? And I said that exact question to Mike. I said, how did you get Michael Jordan's autograph? And Mike Cherry told me that he went to a lot of baseball card shows, which is like a big collection of vendors, and he was able to trade for them with a couple of vendors with some of his cards. And that's how he got these Michael Jordan autographs. And I knew I had no right asking Mike Cherry this question, but I had to try. I said, well, Mike, since you have a couple of these things, I said, is there any way that you would trade one of them to me? And I knew I probably shouldn't even ask that question. Because Mike looked very surprised that I asked that question, and he kind of shook his head. And he said, I don't know, it would take an awful lot to trade a Michael Jordan autograph. And I'm like, yeah. But I was a persistent middle schooler, okay? And I said, you know, Mike, I do have a lot of good cards. And sometime you could take a look at my cards and see if there's any of them you wanted. And maybe, you know, maybe we could make a trade. And Mike said, okay, why don't you bring some of your cards in, some of your best cards in, and bring them on the bus. And I'll take a look and I'll see what you got. But he said, I'm not going to make any promises, okay? I'm not going to make any promises that I'll trade my Michael Jordan autograph. And I said, but I was already excited. I'm like, man, this is already the more hope than I ever had of getting a Michael Jordan autograph. So, because even the thought of getting Michael Jordan's autograph, it was beyond my wildest dreams as a 12-year-old kid. And I knew that if I snagged an Air Jordan, that was his nickname, if I snagged an Air Jordan autograph, those middle school chicks were going to be all over me. Because chicks dig autographs. They just do. And so the next day I did that. I brought some of my best baseball cards in my backpack and waited to see Mike Cherry on the bus ride home from school. And thankfully, Mike was on the bus when I got on. And I sat right next to Mike and let him begin looking at my cards and shuffling through my cards. And as Mike started to look at my cards, I started to kind of bother him and pester him. And I said, well, what do you think, Mike? Is there anything that you want, anything that I have that you would trade Michael Jordan's autograph for? And so Mike paused for a few seconds, and then he held up five of my best cards, including a Mark McGwire and Ken Griffey Jr. rookie cards, which back in the day were pretty valuable. I don't know if they are today. But back in the day, those were some valuable cards. And he said, I'll trade my Michael Jordan autograph for these five cards. And they were my best five cards. And I looked at the five cards Mike was holding, and again, I was like, man, that's steep. But I thought, hey, listen, owning a Michael Jordan autograph is going to take my collection to the next level. To me, it was well worth it. So I said, you know what, Mike, we got a deal. You take my five cards, you give me the Michael Jordan autograph, and we did the deal. Mike took my five cards, he handed me the Michael Jordan autograph card, and it was mine. And I was in awe. I bussed home. And I showed my brother, my father, my friends what I had collected, and they were in awe also. It was like the best day ever as a 12-year-old kid. And it's a funny part of the story. But several weeks went by, and because Mike and I were now trading partners, I ended up getting another Michael Jordan autograph from Mike Cherry. This is where the story takes a weird turn. And apparently Mike had several of these things, which for some reason didn't seem strange to me as a 12-year-old boy. I guess I wasn't too bright. But now I, based on these circumstances, I ended up having two Michael Jordan autograph cards. I mean, how shocking is that? That I had two Michael Jordan autographs. And I basically had turned into a stud overnight. The chicks would not leave me alone in middle school at the playground. And all the guys in middle school, they either wanted to be my friend or they wanted to be me because of how impressive I was. In fact, that's how I got the nickname Cool Hand Todd. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to convince anybody to call me that, which was a bummer. But I was on cloud nine. I decided that I had to show off my prized possessions to the local baseball card dealer in town. His name was Nick Maz, and he was the owner of Maz's Baseball Cards in town. And my brother and I were frequent shoppers at Maz's Baseball Cards, so I had to show Nick Maz my cards. So I went with my brother to Maz's Baseball Cards to show off my autographed Michael Jordans, thinking that this man is going to be so shocked, he's going to have a massive coronary. And that was going to be awesome. And so the next day I went to Maz's with my brother, and I said, "Hey, Nick," really excited. And Nick said, "Hey, Todd, nice to see you. How you doing? What's new?" And without saying a word, I slapped my two Michael Jordan autographed cards on the display cases right in front of Nick Maz. And Nick said something like, "Wow, where'd you get these?" And I said, "I know a guy, Mike Cherry." And Nick Maz said, he goes, "You have two Michael Jordan autographed cards?" And I said, "Yep, that's just how I roll." And Nick said this, he goes, "You know, it's pretty rare to get two Michael Jordan autographed cards." And I was thinking, yeah, no duh. They don't call me Cool Hand Todd for nothing. And he said, "Well, Cool Hand Todd, do you mind if I take a closer look at them?" And I said, "Sure, go for it, man." He goes, "But I'll be taking it with me when I leave, Nick," because I was a pretty confident 12-year-old. I said, "Don't get any ideas. I'm not trading these to you." And Nick began inspecting the cards up to his eye under the light. I just thought, hey, he wants to get a good look at these things. And then I heard Nick say one word. He goes, "Huh." Just like that. And I said, "What's that, Nick?" And he said, "Well, Cool Hand Todd, apparently you have two Michael Jordan autograph cards out of 50 in the world. Because on the card, it had a little fraction on it. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these things, but it had a Michael Jordan autograph, and then it had a little fraction, like 13 out of 50 and 34 out of 50. And I happen to have two of them out of 50 in the entire world. And it never dawned on me that that was really rare. And I said, "Yeah, I guess so," thinking that made perfect logical sense. And Nick said to me, he said, "Todd, are you sure these autographs are real?" And I looked at Nick with a perplexed gaze, because I'd never considered that question ever before in my life. In fact, I didn't even understand the question. I said, "You know what, Nick, come again?" And Nick excused himself for a minute. He went back into his back room, and he emerged about 2 minutes later holding a different card and a piece of paper in his hand. And he said, "Todd, I just happen to have a Michael Jordan autograph card." And he put his Michael Jordan autograph down in the display case next to mine. I guess he had got his at a sports memorabilia auction. And I said, "Nice job, Nick. You got yours the hard way, you know, by paying lots of money, you sucker." I said, but he showed me his Michael Jordan autograph. He placed it right on the display case next to mine. And he had this little piece of paper with his that looked very official. It was a document authenticating that he actually had Michael Jordan's autograph. And he said, "Todd, I really hate to be the one to tell you this, but your Michael Jordan autographs are fake." And I looked at Nick as if he just slapped my mama. And I said, "What do you mean, Nick? I said, fake? How could they be fake? Like a mirage? Like I'm not seeing an autograph? I could see the autograph on the card. It never crossed my mind that there could be a forgery autograph." And Nick said this. He said, "Yeah, take a look at your cards with a signature and then take a look at mine." And I briefly looked at them and I said, "Yeah, okay, you know, whatever." Because to me, they looked exactly the same. And Nick said, "Todd, not only do these signatures not look like the one that I have with a certificate of authentication," he said, "they don't even look like each other." And I was still dumbfounded and couldn't grasp what Nick was trying to tell me. I thought, well, maybe Michael Jordan was sweaty when he did it. You know, maybe some of the sweat got onto the card and blurred the signature. And I said, "What are you trying to tell me, Nick?" And he said, "Todd, Michael Jordan did not sign these cards." And I said, "Are you sure?" And he slowly just shook his head, "Yes." He said, "I'm so sorry, Todd, but you have two forgeries." Wow. As a 12-year-old kid, that was tough news to hear. I was devastated. In fact, I was in denial. I still couldn't believe it. I thought, there's no way. How could Nick Maz dash the dreams of a 12-year-old kid just like that? And I left Maz's baseball cards that day in shame, completely in shame. And for some reason, I couldn't remember why my brother was laughing on the way home. I think it was a coincidence. But my brother was laughing as we went home. And I went home and just stared at these Michael Jordan cards that I had. And then I started to see what Nick was seeing that day. In fact, I could tell that one of the Michaels, I think, was even spelled wrong. It looked more like Michelle Jordan, which I don't think is very famous. And I was so sad that day and so angry. And I couldn't believe I fell for the old let me trade you two fake Michael Jordan autographs while on the bus gag. But I did. I fell for the oldest trick in the book. And that was a defining day in my life because I vowed that day to never let myself be tricked again into getting a forgery. And thankfully, I learned my lesson because as some of you know, only a year or so later, I went to New York City with my family, Ken, and I was able to purchase a Rolex watch from a guy from a briefcase for $15. So the story has a happy ending. Well, there's three morals to my story today. Number one, don't trust a guy with the last name Cherry. Number two, don't call yourself Cool Hand Todd until you talk to Nick Maz first. And number three, don't give what is valuable for what is fake, right? I guess what bothers me the most about that story is that I gave away my 10 to 12 best cards that I had collected for years and years and years for two fakes, for two forgeries. And I never got them back from Mike Cherry. When I confronted him about the transaction, he acted all ignorant and he wouldn't trade back with me. Shocker. But if there's a fourth moral to my story, and I believe that there is if you're paying attention, that is that if the Michael Jordan autographs had been real, if they had and they weren't, but if they were, then that still would have remained a tremendous investment and bargain, right? I still would have traded my 12 best cards for those two Michael Jordan autographs. Because if they would have been real, if they would have been authentic, they would have been very, very valuable cards. And I wasn't sad and angry until I found out that the autographs I had in my possession were fake. In fact, I thought I had fleeced Mike Cherry that day. If those signatures had been real, I thought I would have made that trade 1,000 times in a row and laughed all the way to the bank. So what's the point of my long-winded story today? My point is that if something has little to no value, then certainly it's not worth giving our best time, our best money, our best allegiance, our best honor, our service for that thing, right? In fact, it's going to be devastating when we do, if we find out that that thing is worth little to nothing. But if there is someone who is authentically valuable beyond estimation, then nothing we give in order to secure that treasure will be too much. Is that true? And does that not describe our Lord Jesus? Now, if Jesus, like Mike Cherry, my not-so-friend Mike Cherry after that day, had lied about who he was, if he could not pay the debt of our sins, if he could not rise from the dead, then giving Jesus any part of our lives, let alone every part of our lives, is the worst transaction we could ever make. But if Jesus indeed is the Christ, if he indeed did pay for our sins, if God accepted his payment by rising him from the dead, is anything we give Jesus too big? Anything too grand? Anything too costly? Is not the reward of following the authentic Jesus the gift of eternal life? Consider the value of eternal life, just for a moment. Consider how valuable that would be if someone could give you eternal life. What would you give in return? But here's the question we need to end with tonight is how do we authenticate that Jesus is who he said he is? Because if I learned anything with that Mike Cherry story, it was that we need authentication, don't we? We'd better have authentication if we hand over our lives for something or someone. Well, here's one way to notice if Jesus is the true Jesus. Is that our enemy is willing to give us almost anything if we'll trade Jesus to him. He will trade us anything we want, as long as we let go of Jesus. That's what our enemy will do. And that's a pretty good sign that we have something of real value, is if the ruler of darkness is unhappy that we have Jesus. Right? That's a pretty good tell. Here's another one, and the other one's very simple. It's by testing Jesus' value to our souls. Now, that day, Nick Maz had a letter of authentication with his Michael Jordan autograph. Someone had validated that that actually was Michael Jordan's autograph. Do you know what it says in Psalm 34:8? It tells us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't you love that God says that? He doesn't say, hey, just believe me. Just take my word for it. No, he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord himself does not want us to give up our lives for him until we authenticate that he is real, that he is good and that there's no one else we'd rather have. Because Jesus is certain that once we taste of his goodness, that nothing or no one will ever be able to satisfy us except him. And then we will gladly, by our own free will, trade our most valuable assets just to be with Jesus. And I want to leave you tonight with a parable. It comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. Now, this is one parable with two parts. It's the shortest of all the parables. And I love what this parable says. I want you to listen to it. Matthew 13, 44 to 46 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field." Again, verse 45, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all he had and bought it." Jesus is speaking about himself. Jesus is the hidden treasure in the field and the pearl of great value. Have we realized yet that Jesus is the authentic Son of God, Savior of the world, and highest, richest, most valuable person to ever exist? Are we all in for the authentic? Now, I handed you a forgery tonight. My encouragement with you as you take that forgery home and before you throw it away, because I know you will, and that's okay, is to think just for a moment before you throw it away, would I give my life for a forgery? Because anything that's not Jesus Christ, anything, is a forgery, and it will let us down. If we're giving our life and our soul and our love and our attention and our money and our devotion to anything that's not authentic, you're going to be like me in the Mike Cherry story, taking your card to Nick Maz's baseball cards and finding out that you have a fraud. And I don't want that for anybody that I love. Can we bow and pray tonight? Jesus, I pray to you directly tonight, and I say, please help us see that you alone are worthy of our lives, and that everything else in this world is simply a forgery of you. Please give us a renewed glimpse of your beauty, your value, and your eternal glory tonight. We love you. We thank you for being the authentic Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Devotional Toddcast. Join us for worship Sunday mornings beginning at 10:30. Learn more about us at crossroadsoflittleton.com. Crossroads Church, seeking to shine the light and love of Jesus in the heart of New England.